Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see all of you gather. It is an especial delight to see the Bell Choir for their first performance of this part of the year. So we have a few announcements. First is if anyone would like to join me at Amy Holt, I will be there from 1:15 to 1:45 today. Our volunteers for the food pantry this week are Greg Klinger, Rebecca Tiller, and Rebecca Edstrom. On Tuesday here at 10 o'clock, we will be continuing our study of the purpose-driven life, so anyone who'd like to join us is welcome. On Wednesday at 5:45, we have youth night and confirmation, and the bells will be practicing on Thursday. So we do have our bell choir with us today. They always add a special element to our worship, and so today they are presenting Come Ye Thankful People Come. Please listen. What a beautiful way to begin our worship service today. And before people move, I'd like you to introduce yourselves to this congregation. So we'll begin over there.
I'm Michelle Walker.
I'm Jessica.
I'm Kim.
Slippers.
once again for contributing the beauty of the bells to our worship service today. We do have a couple of other announcements that I realize were not included. First is that this Wednesday at 1:30 over at Union Congregational, the Women's Fellowship is having a special presentation that they are entitling Moselle and Carlos's European Adventure. And so what's going to happen is they'll be talking about their trip through Europe, and Carlos, who is a wonderful photographer, will be showing pictures of their journey. And we will be having some light refreshments. So we'd love to see people come and just participate with the activities of that other church. And the other is that we have something for you to do today. So, Tracy, do you want to explain what it is we're doing? You don't want to explain. All right. What we have, if you remember, every year we do voting in regard to where certain funds from the Nels Nelson Fund will go. And so we have a number of charitable organizations. We're going to ask that you vote so that we know where those funds will be distributed. So the forms will be going to you right now. I'm going to ask that you just take a few minutes and fill them out. And then you can put that in the collection plate as it comes by. They'll give you a few minutes to fill it out. And our youth were also given a percentage of the funds and have made their choices. So once we have your choices and their choices tallied, we'll give you a report about where these funds will be going. So you can just hang on to them and put them in the collection plate. Let's have a few more moments to finish up. Now I ask that you stand as you're able to join in the confession of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquity and to remember our sin no more. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our gathering song is Goodness is Stronger Than Evil, number 721. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to earth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. The book of Daniel is an example of apocalyptic literature, which is full of strange visions and symbolism. Arising during these times of great persecution, apocalyptic literature is concerned with God's revelation about the end time and the coming kingdom of God, when God will vindicate the righteous who have been persecuted. A reading from Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. It shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some everlasting life, and some to shame and to everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 16 responsibly. Protect me, O Lord, for I refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
Almighty God,
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I shall not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their means on my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup, and it is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land, indeed I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel, my heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me, because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not have any need to bury, nor let your Holy One see the dead.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness and joy, and in your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from Hebrews 10:11-25. Images of worship and sacrifice are used throughout Hebrews to highlight what Christ has uniquely accomplished through his death. Because we have received forgiveness through Christ's death, we live in sincere hearts by trusting in God's promises and encouraging love and good works from each other. A reading from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at a service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would make a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies for us after saying, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. When there is forgiveness of these, there are no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a full, true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast in the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet each other, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famine. This is but the beginning of the birth pains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any of our young people who want to come forward for a children's chat? Good.
Come to you, Rosie. unusual for a Sunday, right? We heard today these words. I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. What do you think that means? What does it mean to be shaken? Does that mean someone's going to grab hold of you and lean? Okay, I will be shaken out of the leaf. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? What does it mean not to be shaken? Stay true to your faith. Stay true, stay solid. Believe that God's going to take care of you. Even when things are going really, really rough. When you ever have times in your life that things go bad, you wonder what the next day is going to bring, if it's going to be worse or better. Yeah, I think we all, you? I know I do. I've had days like that. So I found the song. Do you see it as you came in? It's called I Shall Not Be Moved. There should be some copies in there. You can grab some. Let's see, who does not have a copy? No, I sprang this on Julie, so I don't know that she's easy. So I think this is one where we have to stand up. Because it talks about being like a tree planted by the water. So if we're going to be trees, I think we need to stand up. What do you think? We have to be trees and deeply rooted. So root ourselves in God. This is an old song. So,
ready? Okay.
Are we ready? Do you want to go through it one time, Julie?
I'll do the refrain.
Okay. Thank you, Julie, for letting me spring that on you this morning.
I found there are about 18 different verses to this song, by the way. So let us just pause and center ourselves. Blessings from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, we hear the disciples marvel at the temple buildings. Lord, look. See what large stones. See what large buildings. Because the temple was an imposing sight. It was built to be that way, to bring honor and glory to God. And Herod had added onto it because he wanted to bring glory to his family's name as well. And so the temple was an imposing structure. According to the historian Josephus, it was of immense size. This is what he said. He said that the southeastern corner of the temple wall towered high above the very floor of the Kedron Valley, and that the angle of the wall was on the average 300 cubits in height. That's 450 feet, as high as a 40 or 45-story building. Huge, magnificent. And it was set up on a hill, so you could see it from far away. And it said that it gleamed like a mountain covered in snow. And as you approached it, it looked even more grand, even more glorious. And I would think that every time you approached the temple, you would look at it and just look at its height and look at its breadth and think, wow, look at what large stones, what large buildings. Look at what we've been able to do as a people to bring honor and glory to God, to build this magnificent house for our God. A house that's also the temple treasury and the marketplace. But look at this magnificent structure. And what does Jesus say as we're looking at it? He says, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." How are you supposed to believe that? That this huge building, as tall as a 40 or 45-story building, is going to be torn down? How could anyone tear down the house of God? How could this be? And yet in 70, year 70, it was indeed torn down. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed, not one stone upon another. And you can go today to the Holy Land and go to Jerusalem and see the ruins of the temple. You can see how grand the structure must have been. There's a model of it in the museum. And you can see these huge stones that weighed several tons each. This majestic structure torn down. There's talk about building a third temple. This was the second temple because the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, the second temple destroyed by the Romans. And if there were to be a third temple, I would imagine someone would come along and destroy it too. Do you remember in last week's reading that we heard, "Do not trust in our mortal rulers. Do not trust in human rulers." It sometimes said, "Do not trust in princes." Because why? Why are we not to trust in them? Because they're mortal. Because they're human. Because they're sinful. Because they die. And what happens to their plans? Your plans die with them. So last week we were warned, do not trust in human beings, trust in God. And today we hear, do not trust in structures that humans make, because they go the same way. They're torn down. And you look at today's reading, and you wonder, where is the good news in this? As Jesus tells the disciples that the temple would be torn down. And then he goes on to say even worse things are going to be happening. They ask, when will this happen? How can this happen? What are the signs? What should we be looking for? And he says that people will come in his name and say, I am he, and will lead people astray. That there will be wars and rumors of wars. And even then, the end is yet to come. And even though this sounds a lot like the end of all time, what he really is talking about is the destruction of the temple. And it happened, as said, the temple is destroyed. And to this day, we hear of wars and rumors of war. Where is the good news in this? Where is the good news in hearing that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes and famines? And this is just the beginning. The beginning of the birth pangs, it says. If this is the beginning of the birth pangs, that means something is about to be birthed. And that something is the kingdom of God. A kingdom that, unlike our human kingdoms, will never be destroyed. Now, it doesn't sound like good news to hear that the structures that you put so much time and effort and money into will be destroyed, that the work of our hands will be destroyed. It certainly doesn't sound like good news if we are living a comfortable existence and we rely upon these things made by human hands. But if you are not living a comfortable existence, think of the people in Jesus' day. They're oppressed. Their land has been invaded. And they are oppressed. And they are burdened. We heard last week about the people who gave large amounts to keep up the temple, and the widow who gave her two small coins, and Jesus saying she'd given everything. She gave more than those who gave enormous sums, because she gave it all. And something was wrong with that system. The temple was supposed to take care of the widow and the orphan, and here she is giving everything to it. And there's something wrong in our structures, too. And so if you're oppressed, if you're burdened, this sounds like good news. Because it means that what you experience today is transient. It will pass. But something is about to be birthed, the kingdom of God, where everything is turned on its head, where the wealthy are not the ones in charge, where it is the poor who are lifted up, where it is the oppressed who are raised up. There's something new, something different is happening. And so the song that I chose for my children's sermon, I think, is important. To say that whatever happens in the world, this world is only temporary. Whatever oppression comes is only temporary. Whatever burdens exist are only temporary. Whatever is made by the hands of humans is only temporary. And what is coming, the kingdom of God, near but not yet, is a kingdom where there is freedom from oppression, where there is freedom from burden. And so the thought that what is human, what is transient, does indeed pass away. What God is planning will never pass away. There indeed is the good news. And because of that, I shall not be moved in my faith. And I pray you shall not be moved. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. It's number 654, The Church is One Foundation. Because this is the foundation upon which we build everything. Our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation.
O God, in the washing of water you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant you have made with us, as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
By your merciful might, you sustain all creation. Stir us from complacency with the harm we inflict on the earth, and urge us to adopt sustainable ways of life that protect and restore our planet. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With a selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence. Empower all people and nations to pursue peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all for whom joy feels distant. Be present with persons experiencing depression, anxiety, addiction, or any mental illness. Bring them healing and wholeness. We ask that you bring healing and wholeness, especially to those who are on our prayer chain or those we name aloud in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Through the years, you have gathered your church in this community for worship, fellowship, formation, and service. Enable us to look beyond the walls of our building and to perceive where you are calling us forward. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us always to love, holding fast to the confession of our hope in you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. We also thank you for supporting the Bread of Life food pantry with your donations. So I ask that we bring our offerings forward and also put in the offering plate your vote.
Let us pray.
Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish our whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on another God, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy. But we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us a way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs and angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
bless you, keep you, and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our ascending song, Blessed Assurance, number 638.